Welcome to Lent, everybody. Lent, I had to look it up because I forget from year to year. It really means springtime or lengthen. So in the Northern Hemisphere, the word Lent makes sense because the days are lengthening. And it reminds us, as Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days as he began his ministry, we are going to be in Lent for 40 days, remembering all that Christ has done for us. Jesus went into the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry. We're told in scriptures that the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. So it wasn't something he decided, I'm just going to do this for fun. It was the Spirit sending him out there. And it's a time when we get sent out into the wilderness ourselves. Jesus needed to know who exactly he was before he began his ministry. And Lent is a time that we get to self-examine ourselves as well, to figure out, who am I? Is this the path that I want to continue on? How can I follow Jesus? How can I be a good disciple of Jesus? And as Nadia Boltz-Weber, who is a preacher, says, it's a great time because we get it to ourselves. Not many people in the church, other than us Anglicans and Catholics and maybe a few Lutherans, nobody else celebrates Lent. I had a friend who's been in ministry for probably 30 years, and she's just gotten in ministry with young people, but she's just gotten her own church this year, and she's doing Ash Wednesday this last week for the very first time. And it was so funny to read her blog because she was so, this was so exciting to her. And imagine putting the cross on your forehead and remembering that you were dust, and it was all new to her. So this is a time that's sort of special for us because we get it to ourselves. Not everybody's going to be celebrating Lent. It's also a time that we're told Jesus was hungry. You can imagine 40 days without food. We are told that he was tempted. I imagine one of the temptations might have been, hey, Jesus, you have done the ultimate thing. You've come down from heaven. You've put yourself into a human body. Shouldn't that be enough? Come on, have something to eat right now. You've done enough for the kingdom already. And sometimes, how many have anybody given up anything for Lent? Yeah, a few people. Some of us take on things for Lent. If you like chocolate a lot, you might have given up chocolate for Lent. If you have real problems maybe reading a chapter of the Bible a day, you might have just, I'm going to get up 15 minutes earlier every day in Lent and read the Bible. But I bet temptations have already started. Oh, come on, you can read two chapters at night. You don't really need to get up that 15 minutes earlier. What's a little chocolate heart? After all, it's Valentine's Day. Come on. God's not going to care about something like that. So it's a time when we figure out who we really are. Was I serious about that commitment? Does it really matter? Something to think about. Self-examination. What is Lent all about? Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we begin this 40 days, we pray that you will be with us. Show us what you want us to learn during this period so that when we get to Good Friday and we see all that you are suffering for us, when we get to the resurrection, we can celebrate in a new and exciting way because we have grown to know you better and to love you more. Be with us now, in Christ's name. Amen. And now the good news. If you count up 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter, you will find that there's really about 46 days. And you think, whoa, wait a minute. Did I get this wrong? The good news is Sundays because we are celebrating the resurrection, and the resurrection is so powerful that we get to take a break from whatever we've vowed for the rest of those 40 days. So if you vowed not to eat chocolate, you get to eat chocolate today. And every Sunday, you get to sleep in. Not when you're the priest on a Sunday morning, but you get to sleep in if that's what you decided you were going to do for Lent. I've decided that for Lent, I'm going to give up giving really long sermons. Not that my sermons were all that long to begin with, but I'm going to try and make them a tiny bit shorter. And I had the discipline for Lent to actually give a title to each of my sermons. It should be in your little handout, so that's what you can look forward to hearing. And you'll notice that the title today is The Gospel According to Noah. We don't meet Noah too often in our three-year liturgy, but we meet him today, and we know the story of creation, don't we? Where God brought out of chaos, brought a beautiful world, a cosmos that God wanted to be wonderful and filled with joy and filled with happiness. He wanted to make people in his own image, male and female, created in the image of God. And he wanted to have fellowship with all of those people on earth and all of the animals on earth. And we know the story of Genesis, don't we? Like those our first ancestors, they messed up. Didn't take them long because the accuser came and said, you don't really have to do what God told you to do. You can be free in a different way. You can be free in your own freedom, not the freedom that God has given you to be made in his image. Because who is the ultimate free one? God. God is free. And because we are made in the image of God, he did that dangerous thing and made us free as well. Well, we know the consequences of that freedom. People who have freedom don't always use it for good, do they? We see it over and over again in our world. And so what God made to be something of beauty, separating the waters from the dry land, having things work the way they should, having a beautiful, beautiful garden for people to live in. In the story of Noah, that is reversed. The creator becomes the destroyer. The land and the water that were separated come back together, and God begins again. God begins again with a tiny little group of people, Noah and his family, and all of the animals that were on that ark. Now, some people say it's a myth. It's just to teach us, you know, that sin has its consequences. I have no problem believing it's true in a real physical sense, because throughout the Middle East, every civilization in the Middle East has a flood story. So there's some memory, some human memory of a great deluge happening. But what happens next is very interesting, because God makes a new covenant. Imagine things being so awful that you have to destroy something that you've loved and made and start again. But God makes a covenant. What's a covenant? An agreement. If I make a covenant that I'm going to go over and help my neighbor every Friday from 2 to 4, I might sign it. But the person would have to agree to it, wouldn't they? Because I'd be going into their house to help them. And so together we would agree on this covenant. We do it when we get married, don't we? We sign a piece of paper. We make a covenant that we're going to be faithful to each other. But this is a covenant who has only one person signing it, God signing it. People don't have to agree to anything. They don't have to agree to be good. They don't have to agree to even listen to God anymore. But God says, I am making a covenant with you that I'm going to sign, just me. And the covenant is, I am never going to destroy you again with the flood. Never again will I do that. I want you to keep the covenant and be my friend like you used to be, but I'm not going to make you sign anything. It's only me that's going to sign this covenant. And it's a covenant of love. It's a covenant of protection from floods. And you think, well, floods still happen, don't they? But that's not God sending those floods. Often it's our own foolishness, isn't it? When we hear of floods in different places, it's because, wow, we didn't pay that guy to make the bridge the way it should have been. And so it's a flood from a river. Or, well, we all know about climate change, don't we? But God says, I'm never going to destroy my creation again because I love them. And that wasn't just with people, was it? Who did God make that covenant with? With all the people of the earth? With all the creatures of the earth? All the domestic animals? We do God a disservice when we abuse our domestic animals. I don't know if you see those pictures that PETA puts out about how we abuse animals just so we can have, you know, food every day, meat every single day of our lives at every meal. God has made a covenant with domestic animals. God loves cows and pigs and chickens and also with wild animals. Wild animals that we go and see in zoos or if we go on a safari, but those beautiful wild animals, they're also part of this covenant that God has made. I don't want my creatures hurt either. So this is the gospel. I call it the gospel according to Noah, that God is in covenant with all of us. And it's a covenant of love that he will provide for us, that he will provide for his animals and never again destroy them. And so when we see Jesus out in the wilderness, who's it with him? It's not just angels. We're told that the spiritual beings are there and they're eventually going to minister to him and take care of him as he suffers through those 40 days. But he's there with the wild beasts as well. I hope they weren't hungry. Didn't seem like they attacked him. But it's this bringing together of the spiritual realm, the angels, and the physical realms, Jesus himself as our human representative, and also the wild beasts. In Jesus, God brings again heaven and earth. As we go through this 40 days while we wait for the resurrection, which we know is coming, we have way more knowledge than the early disciples had. Let's go through it, knowing that whatever we decide to give up or whatever we decide to take on as a discipline, it's because we love God, because we want to go out into the wilderness with Jesus, and we don't have to be afraid because God has made that covenant with us and with his world that he will never destroy us again. That is not God's purpose for us. God's purpose is that we go through whatever we go through in life with him by our side, with Jesus by our side. So let's go into these 40 days with anticipation that even though wild beasts might seem to be around us, we have angels ministering to us. So go into these 40 days with joy, and may that be what gives you strength. Amen.